Where do some of these ideas come from? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. My host, Gary Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Well, Barry, we're having a little bit of a noisy night tonight on Skype, so if it sounds a little funny to you folks, we're doing the best we can, and we'll try to engineer as much of this noise and goofiness out as we can.
And it sounds a little funny to us, too.
That's right. And well, also, Barry, I got to point out that what sounds funny is the rhetoric that we're going to be discussing this evening. Some of this stuff is patently ridiculous, and yet it gets over 50% of the people. It has influenced over 50% of the people to vote for the continuation of the programs that these people who really don't know what they're talking about keep pushing. And it's going to be interesting to see what the end point is. Unfortunately, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be an economic train wreck. So
that's true. Well, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is a continuation of yesterday's program where we discussed some of the thoughts of Georgia Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson, who decided that he's got a great idea to solve all problems in our country, and that is to amend the Constitution to limit the right of freedom of speech. Specifically, he says it's the corporation's fault. Now, we take this program on Thursday night before it airs. I just got finished teaching my Institute on the Constitution course tonight, and I talked about this particular piece, the show that we did on Thursday, about this, and I was talking to them with the class, and I had a couple of the class members said, as soon as you said the word corporations, I immediately thought of big companies. But when I explained to them, as we talked about on the air yesterday, that corporation is just a group of people associated together, and corporations include pro-life groups and civic organizations, and others are all incorporated, because that's what makes a corporation, is a group of people who have come together and have incorporated their efforts. And that really, Hank Johnson is really more targeting those groups like Tea Party organizations and pro-life and pro-family groups and limited government groups and tax reform groups for his wrath, rather than big corporations like Google, Microsoft, Nike, and others who are part and parcel of getting government handouts and handing to these politicians the one thing that they desire most, big campaign contributions.
Well, all you have to do is look at this quote from Hank Johnson, where he says, quote unquote, "These corporations, along with the people they support, other millionaires who they're putting into office, are stealing your government." Well, Barry, that makes a presumption that anyone on the right, anyone in the conservative camp, is automatically rich. Well, I'm about as middle class as you can get. I'm looking at my bottom line, and while it's improving, it's a race between now and the day they put me in the box and close the lid on whether or not I'll be completely out of debt by that time.
I'm gonna hazard a guess that the answer is going to be no.
Well, it looks like I'm going to make it. It just depends on God and how long he has on the calendar for me to persevere.
So are you telling me that you're going to be one of those people who are going to voluntarily pony up your share of the public debt, your $243,000 in change that the federal government is spending for you as we speak?
When you're talking in those terms, that ain't going to happen.
That isn't going to happen in this lifetime. And you know, it's funny, Chuck, just a little segue. You know that there are people who actually give voluntary contributions during tax season to help, quote unquote, pay their fair share. And that added up this last tax year to about $7.7 million, which the government spent in 3 minutes and 21 seconds at the rate that they're going.
Barry, that's the big problem. But what people don't understand is that wealth creation is not a zero-sum game. Wealth is being created and consumed all the time. It's the value that you put into a raw material or a good that you turn into a profit. Now, that being said, if you were to confiscate all wealth and convert it to cash and use it to run government programs, there's a number of days that the government would run And I think it's something like 3 months.
Probably.
The idea being that we have to continually create wealth by converting things, by adding value to them, in order for the machine to continue to run. And you can't keep extracting out the capital that you need to make that machine run and expect it to continue to run smoothly. As we're seeing, we've been extracting this capital in the form of taxes more and more and more and more. And what's happening is we're spending more and more and more of the capital up front and leaving more and more and more debt. Then as we look at the debt, everybody goes, look, we spent too much money. We need more money in taxes, which is taking revenue out of the machine. We're not sitting here saying that taxes aren't necessary. They are. Government is an ordained function, ordained by God, to rein in the evildoer. I mean, all you have to do is listen to Romans 13. And it says right in there, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. Well, the government can't run for free. It just is not going to happen that way. People have to be paid, and people have to be there to do the job. The question is, how much government do we need? And what is the job that they have to do to punish the evildoer and reward the good, as Romans 13 says? And that's the question we're going back and forth on. Now, we've got guys like this Congressman Hank Johnson from Georgia, who is basically pushing this idea that somehow people who are actually extracting wealth, adding value to goods, and taking a profit from those goods or from those raw materials are somehow evil.
Yeah.
Because they make money. And he hasn't said it directly, but it's the closest thing you can do without doing so. And they're trying to steal your government. So they control the patterns of thinking. Well, of course, the corporations he's talking about who are controlling the patterns of thinking are people like the Institute for Principled Policy.
I just was out there directing all of our enthralled minions just a little bit ago to go and foment insurrection against the government. Yeah, that's exactly what we were doing, weren't we, Josh?
That's it. Now, honestly, Barry, I think the last two guys who want to see a revolution would be me and you.
Yes, I don't know which order we'd put that in.
Yeah, revolution would be the worst possible. Now, if you want to think revolutionarily, and in fact, the kind of revolution where governments don't actually change hand, but thinking changes, a revolution in thinking. Okay, I can go for that. But if you want me to get out there and foment a shooting revolution in order to change governments, no thank you. I don't want to be involved in that. That is not biblical. There are only certain very limited circumstances under which that would be any form of acceptable. And we won't even want to go into that. But this guy is claiming that that's what we want to do. And it's not. It's the furthest thing from what we want to do. But he's saying that the right wing controls the media. I have to laugh about that. Barry, the right wing does not control the media.
Well, he's saying the corporations control the media. Well, that'd be corporations like NBC and CBS and ABC. And for that, he's right. But the big problem is those aren't the people he's wanting to attack with this restriction on freedom of speech. He likes their speech. He just doesn't like the speeches of, say, Fox News Corp or other of those who he seems to be thinking are controlling the country. Now, maybe it's because some of those organizations are actually reflecting the voice of a large number, possibly the majority, of the citizens of the country, and he's not comfortable with that.
And the fact is that that premise has already been overturned by the fact that Obama just got reelected by a substantial margin. So the fact is that all those corporations that were controlling thought patterns, supposedly, didn't seem to control the thought patterns very well. And now all of a sudden these guys want to entrench themselves by getting a constitutional amendment passed to wipe out the First Amendment. Now, this is one of the scenarios that scares me, Barry, because we have Republicans, largely Republicans, who are creating these fictional scenarios in their heads. And we know that they're creating them because we're getting feedback from state legislatures that they've got this rather strange idea that they can call a quote-unquote controlled constitutional convention by writing quote-unquote strongly worded state resolutions that would control these and appointing the proper delegates who would respect these controls that were put on them. Barry, they're being sold this by people who tout themselves as historians. No historian can read the record of the first Constitutional Convention and not admit up front that most of the state resolutions in 1787 were strongly worded.
Yes, they were.
And they called for a specific thing. They called for the addition, essentially, of an interstate commerce clause and a revenue stream for the federal government. Those are the only two things that were on the agenda.
Because the federal government was trying to balance their budget.
That's right. The federal government was trying to balance
their
budget.
They were looking for a balanced budget amendment in 1787.
Exactly. They were trying to pay off their war debt.
Yes, indeed.
Gosh, gee, we're not trying to do that, are we? In fact, one of the things that everybody's talking about on this fiscal cliff negotiations is the fact that they don't want to touch defense spending. Well, all spending across the board is going to have to get cut. I don't see how anybody can't see around that. But that being said, Barry, these guys just lost two elections in a row, and they lost them by virtually the same margins, maybe slightly different. I think it was a little less on this one. That being said, what makes Republicans think they can call a constitutional convention and guys like Hank Johnson aren't going to end up being delegates to this thing?
Oh, well, of course, those would be the type of people we'd have delegates. And, you know, Chuck, I'm glad you brought that up because just the other day, out of curiosity, I took a look at something because as we were talking, we mentioned, you and I were in a meeting together. And we mentioned that the fact that Ohio, looking at, you know, the people of the state of Ohio just rejected a call for a state constitutional convention in November. But the fact is that we have a group that's out there that was appointed by a statute called the Ohio Constitutional Modernization Commission. These are like delegates, Chuck. They're not in convention, but they are looking at changes that they feel need to be made to the state constitution, just like delegates would be looking at changes that they feel need to be made to a federal constitution. Now, if we want to take this as kind of maybe a microcosm of what a federal delegation might look like, other than the elected officials that are on this, the legislative members, which includes members from both chambers, both Republican and Democrat, what you have as far as what they consider the public members, and those are the delegates that were selected by our legislative leadership to look at how to clean up, improve, modernize, or whatever our state constitution, it includes people like Janet Gilligan Abare, which is the daughter of former Democrat Governor John Gilligan. It includes Herb Asher, who is a liberal and, shall I say, morally compromised political science professor at Ohio State University. It includes Paula Brooks, a Democrat commissioner in Franklin County. It includes Joanne Davidson, the former House Speaker, also not a conservative. It includes Bob Taft, former Ohio governor. Now, I'm not sure how many of y'all remember Bob Taft, but I think the one thing you do remember about Bob Taft was he was not his grandfather.
Not by a long shot.
Which means he was not Mr. Conservative in Ohio. Chuck, that's just a hand, and many of the other members are just as, well, they would consider themselves conservatives, but they're neoconservative at best. That's what we did when we picked delegates just in the state to look at fixing issues in our Constitution. Can you imagine the people that would be called upon to be delegates to a federal constitutional convention from the state of Ohio?
And Barry, this is exactly the thing that you and I have testified, both of us, and other people that we've testified alongside. This is exactly the fear that we raised when we testified. He who picks the delegates gets what they want in a new constitutional convention. You cannot call a controlled one. It cannot be controlled once you call one by all precedent. It is in the hands of the delegates what they discuss.
That's
can you
exactly right.
Can you restrict it to a balanced budget amendment? No. Now, there's another problem, Barry, in that you and I have both came up with the same solution. What happens if you, by some outside chance, get a balanced budget amendment and someone sues in the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, because of the balanced budget amendment, we now must, in upholding the Constitution, defending and protecting it, must impose a tax from the bench in order that the federal government does not have a revenue shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then?
Well, it's an emergency at that point, isn't it?
Now it's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at the clock.
Speaking of shortfalls.
That's right. As we get rolling on this, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.